Okay, let's pray and we'll get rolling. Father God, Lord, I love you, Lord. I thank you for the day. I thank you for pray that you just bless us in any way you would see fit, Lord. I pray that you would just use us in any way that you would see fit, Lord. Speak to us today through your word. Lord, I do pray that you would challenge us, Lord, and that we would be more like you. Lord, I do pray for those who are struggling with the weather and just different things. We do pray that we as a class could just help each other out in any way that we could. We do just pray that you would just use us in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so I haven't asked you this yet. Who's keeping up with the reading? Who's there?
I just got to the point where...
Can we say who's committed to doing the reading?
Yeah, let's say who's committed to doing the reading. Like, who's rolling with it? She's kind of got like the... She's not sure if she's at an assembly church or like a Baptist. She's like, I don't want to raise my hand, but... I'm just kidding, sorry. What's that? I'm sorry.
All right.
Where what?
I just got to the point where he goes to the well and finds Rebecca.
All right. Keep rolling. Okay. Keep pushing it. I'm a few chapters behind just because of the weather, and I was going to read last night, and so anyway. But just keep.
Candlelight's kind of hard, isn't it?
It is, man. Praise the Lord for lights. But anyway,
do you have, like,
I'll catch up.
Ooh, we do, but somebody hates oil lamps, so we have.
Anyway. We're not talking about oil lamps or anything. So no, just keep pushing through it because it's good. I do want to push through. I want to, as a class, read through the Bible. So it will be a huge accomplishment if we can make it through it. So please stay diligent. Just stay on it. Yes, ma'am.
Did you put it off? Did someone say that?
Paige did.
Yeah.
Do you have it with you?
Oh. I should ask mine first.
Oh. Yes, we do have it. Month by month. So anyway, so keep on it. It really is good. So stay with it. So okay, I got to get rolling. So last week we started talking about. So this year I'm going to teach through each week something that we read that week because we're going to be reading, correct? Except for like this first month because we just went through Genesis, and so I'm taking a few weeks and just talking about past point as a whole. And so. Who was here last week? Because I can't ever remember who was. So, everybody except for Holly and Brady. So, Brady was here. Okay, everybody except for Holly. So, I'm going to roll really quickly over what we hit before because I'm going to try to get through a little bit more of this. And hopefully, the recording works. I heard that the recording didn't work last week. But so, we'll see what happens. But there's some people that are wanting to keep up with it. But so, the question I posed is just simply, why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? Why do we get up and come to church every morning? Why do we get up and read? Why should you care about getting in the Word just because I told you to, right? Why do we do what we do? Why is Past Point different than the real life class? Why is Past Point different than the Light Walkers class or the Berean class? And don't just say because the Berean class is old, right? And I don't mean that we're better, but we are different, right? We are different. They're the Bereans. That the meaning of Berean is elderly. It's in the Bible. Anyway, I'm not saying that we're better, so don't confuse me with that. But why do we, as Past Point, why do we call ourselves Past Point? Why do we do what we do, right? And it's not just because I teach different than them, because I do. But why do we do what we do? And that's just the whole point, is because. Some of you have probably heard this a bunch of times, right? Back when Roger taught Past Point, he came up with all this, right? So I'm disclaimer from the beginning, this isn't my stuff. I'm adding some stuff to it, but this outline really isn't mine per se. So why do we do what we do, right? And so I ask you the question, what does the name Past Point mean? Somebody tell me. We got to move quickly.
Or we're not. Point of return.
Right? We want to be past the point of no return for Christ, right? And the scripture with that... is in John 6, 66 to 69, right? When Christ is like, most of the disciples, not the 12, but the group, they leave, and Christ turns to the 12, and he says, will you also go away? Right? Are you also going to fall off? Hey, things are getting hard. Are you gonna fall off the wagon too? Right? That would be like me. I'm kind of feeling spunky this morning. I was kind of dragging before, but it would kind of be like me, like, are you going to fall off this whole reading train too? Right? Are you? Huh? So, I'm just kidding. Are you? Okay, so are you but and so and what did Peter say? And I love this passage. I loved it before it had anything to do with the past. He says read it.
Whom shall we go? Yeah. Thou hast the words of eternal life.
To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go, Jesus? If you didn't notice, we're kind of sold out on this thing, right? We're committed. Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life, right? They were past the point of no return. They couldn't go back, right? And you can go back and listen to the recording from last week, hopefully, if we can get it to work and get more into that. But I got to keep moving. So why do you want to be past the point of no return? Because you said so, Jason, right? No, that's not the reason. Because we want to be sold out for Christ, right? We want to get there, right? So past point has four goals. Everybody here, so there's four goals. Based on four goals. What was the first one?
Be an example of a believer.
Right. The first goal that we have out of 1 Timothy 4, starting in verse 12, we are to be an example to the believer, right? That's the first goal of the past point class, right? That's what we are. That's who we are. We are past the point of no return, and here's the four goals that we're shooting for. We want to be an example of the believer, and we only got partway through this point, and I promise I'm not going to go out of January with this thing. So, I shouldn't talk. I'm committed. I'm shooting for not going out of January this. I'm not promising nothing. So, who knows? We might get a bigger snow next week. If you'd asked me last Sunday if it was going to snow, everybody's like, there's not even snow in the forecast. We got more snow than we had in the last 5 years, right? That's just the way it works. So, we are to be an example of the believer. Let me get there. 1 Timothy 4:12. I want to kind of go through this as I go. It's somewhere in here, I promise. 1 Timothy 4, starting in verse 12, it says, "Let no man despise thy youth." Right? And that's just we'll just call that a coinkydink, that we are supposed to be like the young adult class. Now, there's sometimes some older people in here, and praise the Lord, I don't care. Anybody who wants to listen to me ramble, I'm all for it. But it just happens to be that we are shooting for the demographic of young adults, right? For those coming out of college, maybe, or even going into college, coming out of high school, people with young families, just people. It just works better when you're around people that are semi your age. Now, I say that lightly because you all think that I'm old, but I'm just throwing that out there. But I just think it's cool. It says, "Let no man despise thy youth," right? Don't let those in the other classes think they're still wet behind the ears. They don't know nothing about it, right? I want you to know your Bible better than they do. And I'm not that it's a competition, but just because we're the young adults, know your Bible. Don't use that as an excuse. Any of you, any of us who try to use the, "well, we're still young Christians," excuse, that's your fault. Get in the Word and read and learn, right? Now, maybe if you've been saved like 6 months, I'll give you a little bit of grace. Once you get to 8 months, though, you better know it. Just kidding. But no, know your Bible, right? You have all the tools in the world to know your Bible. You hold it in your hand, right? And so, anyway, so let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. There's your first goal. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. Right? That's your first goal, to be an example of the believer. Take a step back, right? I know you're sitting down, but like, slide your chair back, or take a step back and look at this thing, big picture. And I'm just going to preface this right now. I'm not talking about your wife's life. I'm not talking about your husband's life. I'm not talking about that other guy's life. Look at your life for a second. Your step back, when you look at your life, step back and look at it, is the thing that comes to mind, that's an example to other believers? Sometimes, right? Maybe, right? There's times I would be like, yes, I believe that I live my life as Christ-like as I possibly can. And there's other times I'm like, man, I hope nobody saw that, right? I'll just be honest. So take a step back. Are you being an example of the believer? That's what we as Past Point want to be. We want to be an example for the rest of the church, for the rest of the town, for the rest of everybody we work with, our coworkers. Are you being an example of the believer? Now, I'm not saying you got to be the Jesus freak that's beating the Bible over people's heads, right? If you want to be that guy, okay, right? But are you living it? right? And so let's get into that. In word, right? So are you being an example to the believer in word? We already hit these first 2 points, so I got to keep moving. So that would be like the thought, right? Not so much what you're saying, but the thoughts or your motives, right? Are your motives representing Christ? Are they an example to the believer, right? I'm moving on, right? So are you being an example of a believer in word? Here's the second one, in conversation, right? And is your conversation, now, remember, conversation doesn't exactly mean what's coming out of your mouth like we think it is. It's more like your behavior of life, right? That's your conversation in biblical terms. It's your behavior. Is your behavior, the way that you conduct your life day in and day out, is that an example to the believer, right? We're not even talking about to the lost people because they're judging you even more, right? But are you being an example to the believer, right? You got a couple other Christians that you work with. Is the way that you conduct your life an example to them? We're not even talking about trying to win the lost at this point. But, you know, I'll use myself as an example. For the longest time, I was the only Christian in a very dark workplace. I'll just call it what it is, right? And now I've got Jackson, who isn't here, usually sits right here. So Jackson, right? He works with me, and Brady does as well. And so slowly I am pulling people in. I'm in a position where I can slowly pull people in. So I've got these guys that work with me. They're probably, they would snark at the word with, because a lot of times I don't work with them so much as at the same place as them. They do different things than I do most of the time. But anyway, using myself as an example, is the way that I conduct myself day in and day out, the way that I lead the 15 or 20 guys that work under me, or not under me, but that work for me, I don't know how you want to say it, I don't want to make it, the guys that I am the supervisor of, we'll call it that, right? I'm supposed to make sure they get their job. So is the way that I do my job an example to them? I'm like, I hope so. You know, I can't just be beating the Bible over these lost guys' head because I could lose my job for that, right? It's against the law. But am I at least an example to these guys? You know, my conversation should be an example to the lost guys too. And it has been, and I've seen fruit from that, you know, asking questions. But is your conversation, not the words coming out, is your conversation an example to the believers? All right. I'm trying to get to something new, right? Okay, here's the next one. We didn't get there. In charity, so right? You got to be an example to the believers, right? In charity. What does that mean? What does the word charity mean when you look at it in the Bible, right? You look at the... Huh? That is one of them. You're exactly right. That's... Huh? No, it really is. It is. The word charity in this passage means agape. Now, if you know... if you've ever done a word study, you should do this. On the word love in the Bible, there's five different ways. Is that correct? Five?
I think there's five. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's five. But then,
really common.
Yeah, but I was confusing it with something else. There's five different ways that the word love is translated in your Bible, from different words that translate to the word love. Right? And agape is like the get or done, sacrificial. Right? I call it not that kind of love. Don't look at me like that, Meredith. I meant like here. I've heard a sermon like this.
She loves binders.
I heard a sermon and it was put like this: agape love is a love with shoes on. It's a love that's ready to get out and do something for somebody. It's not just, yeah, honey, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna take the trash out. I ain't got my shoes on, right? It's snow outside. I ain't going outside with no shoes on, right? It's a love with shoes on, right? That's what an agape love is. And you can do the study. But anyway, that's what this charity, it's an agape love. It's an affection, benevolence, right? That is what this word means. So are you an example of the believer in love, affection, right? So am I being an example in the way that I love my brothers, even like I love myself, right? Because let's just be real. We like ourselves, right? I think I'm pretty special sometimes, right? You might say, no, I don't think so. You like yourself, right? You do. That's just how it is. So think of it this way. I used this example in discipleship a couple weeks ago, right? I'm willing to do anything. You know, if you know me, I will do anything. I will lay my life down for the people that I am close to, right? And I don't just mean my family, right? But I mean like the people that I know, the people that if I'm at work and something's going down, I have no problem laying my life down, laying it all out there for certain people, right? I will do anything for the people that I'm close to, right? And that's just part of it. I believe that that's part of what true friendship is. I believe that's part of what true love is, right? That, you know what, if that's what it comes down to, you're not going to talk to her like that. You're not going to say something like that. You're not going to, it doesn't matter whether it's in word or whatever. I will do anything. I'll give you the shirt off my back. It doesn't matter to me, right? And so that's just how I am to the people that I'm close to. Now, I shouldn't have to preface it like that, but I do. Because that's just how I am, and I don't like that. The thing is I'm supposed to be an example to the believer in charity. Now, it doesn't say to my close friends. It says to the believer. That means that anybody who claims the name of Christ, I should have that same love towards. Now, I'm just throwing that out there that I've got room to grow, right? But that's what this is saying. We want to be past point. We want to be past the point of no return for Christ. We want to do anything and everything that God calls us to do, right? Excuse me. Then you've got to do it for everybody, right? Now, the lost world, you know what? They're the lost world. You should be willing to die for them too, I guess. I mean, you should. But in this context, we're an example to the believer. I should be like that to everybody. Even the guy that I'm like, yeah, okay. I guess you claim Christ too. But no, I shouldn't be like that, right? You ever... Now, maybe this is just me. And I probably shouldn't say this on the recording. You ever have that person in the church that is just like, man, you just really get on my nerves, right? Just like, man, you just like, every time you pass them, it's like, man, I know that we're brothers in Christ, but man, I just don't like you, right? Now, I'm saying that. I hope you guys don't feel that way, right? Now, you know what? I've grown since then. But we can't have those thoughts, right? You know what? We're brothers and sisters. At the end of the day, I think I made the analogy last week, or maybe it was in Disciple. I can't remember. It's all running together. At the end of the day, you might be the only two that are in the battle together. You better figure out how to work it out and get along and love each other, right? I think it was in Disciples because I was making the analogy that you know what, you could be out halfway around the world with somebody on a mission trip, and all of a sudden, you know what, that person that you just couldn't stand, they're all of a sudden your best friend because they're all you've got. Brady's name came up because they went on a trip with us, and I told you. Now I see what you're doing. I told you that you could ask Brady how much closer you get with people when you go on a mission trip together. Because you learn to really rely on that person more than you ever thought you could. Because all of a sudden, it's like going to battle with somebody. It's like going to war with somebody. At the end of the day, we might not like each other that much, but all of a sudden, you're my best friend. Because it's the rest of the world against us, and we want to stay alive. You know, and that's the analogy that I was making. I like Brady.
Brady would like to.
He's a big guy. Totally kidding. Brady knows I love him. So, you got to be willing, no matter who they are, to love them in charity, right? That's how you're going to be an example. That's how you're going to be an example to the believer that, you know what, whether you're this person or this person, no matter what you got or what you don't got, no matter how you dress, how you don't dress, no matter, you know what, I love you because you're my brother, and I'll do anything for you just like I will my wife. That's how we've got to be. Ephesians 5, 25 to 28 says, husbands, now we know this is talking about marriage, right? But it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We're supposed to love our wives like that. Now that's saying something, guys. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now here's where it gets good, guys, verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. For he that loveth his wife loveth himself. You know why Paul said that? Because he's like, I know you guys, you like yourselves. And you'll do anything to take care of yourself. Love your wife like that. And the point that I'm trying to say right now is, you better love your brother like that too. You know what? You better love your brother like that too. If you love someone or something, you'll do anything for them. How much do you really love your brother? Right? Are you willing to do anything for him? Are you being an example of the believer in charity? Right? That's what we are. That's why we do what we do. We are past point. We are past the point where we love the believer as ourselves, right? That's what we do. The next one, in spirit. So we're supposed to be an example of the believer in spirit. What does spirit mean in your Bible? Right? Come on, give me some things. When you hear it, I mean, you think like a ghost? Ooh. I mean, come on, give me something. Soul? Okay, give me something. No, there's no rhetorical questions. Not today. I'm too fired up. There's no rhetorical questions.
You said that last week, though, and then there was...
I know.
There shouldn't have been. If you would have answered it, it wouldn't have been rhetorical. So here's how it's... Okay, go ahead. No.
I was just going to say, when I hear it, I think of Christ, and because you, not necessarily your own spirit, would be saved.
A lot of times that does mean that. In this context, you're exactly right. When it talks about the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what it's talking about, because the Holy Spirit is Christ, and it lives inside of you. In this context, when you look at the Greek and the Hebrew and you translate it, and I'm not big into doing that, but I did want to pull these things out as I went through this to see exactly what we are supposed to be, right? So it translates as a current of air, right? Like the spirit, it's like a feeling, right? The rational soul, so you were right, the rational soul, she's over there being the spirit. My goal today is to make everybody as embarrassed as possible. I've got a good start. So a current of air, the rational soul, so what you said before, right? You're like the soul, right? The rational, so not the irrational soul, but the rational soul, or your current disposition, right? So that's where we're kind of... So here's the question. Am I being an example of the believer in my current disposition, in the way that I carry myself, the mood that I'm always in, right? Am I being an example to the believer in just the mood that I'm in all the time? So ask yourself this question. I'm having you guys ask yourself a lot of things during this, right? Because as I'm doing this, I'm asking myself a lot of things, and I'm getting all uncomfortable, so you guys got to, too. Ask yourself this question. When I think of myself, now you're not thinking of me, right? I don't need to know what you think of me. When I think of myself, what kind of person do I think that I am? Am I a happy person? Am I cheery? Am I a cheery person? Am I a fiery person, right? I'm fiery. I know where that one came from. Am I an angry person, right? When you think of, am I an angry person? Am I a quiet person? Emotional? That's never a good one. I'm just going to throw that out there. Am I an emotional person? A hypocritical person? Now we're getting into the bad list, right? A snarly person? And if you think of yourself as a snarly person, I'm telling you, snarly. Well, a bitter person, right? I'm just bitter, right? Now, the other people might think that of you, but ask yourself that. What do you think of yourself like? You know, and that is somewhat rhetorical, because I don't need you to like throw them out there. Meredith tried to tell me the other day she was fiery. I'm like, what? So now ask yourself this question. Now ask yourself this question, right? You've got your word up there. Didn't have to be from my list, but you've got your word, right? I'm pleasant, right? Whatever it is. When other people think of me, what kind of person do they think that I am?
Did you say
well, they're the same, right? What? When other people think of me, what kind of person do they think I am? Now, here's another question. Do they match? Do the two match? Does the person that you want yourself to be and the person that other people think you are they the same? We may want them to match, but in reality, a lot of times they don't, right? In reality, I want to be a godly man, right? I want to be, you know, all of those really stand up, right? A lot of times it just doesn't play out, right? You know, a lot of times it just doesn't work out that way. Now, last question for this point, right? Because there are going to be more questions, just how it is. When God sees you, what kind of person does he see? What word comes to mind? Well, now it's like, well, crap. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that on recording, but like at first I was godly, right? I'm like, oh, well, maybe my wife doesn't think that, or maybe I'm like down a notch, and it's like, oh, now you want to know what God thinks. Oh, I'm done, right? Now I'm back to hypocritical, right? Whatever it is. Because at the end of the day, God sees through all of your facade, right? You can come in here and you can put on a good face and we can laugh and have a good time. And I praise the Lord we do, right? I want this to be like family. But we all put on a facade at times. Now, hopefully it's not all the time, but we do. You know, I pray that I don't. I try to be as transparent as I can. I really do. At times my wife's like, why did you say that? Right? But I do. I try to be transparent because you know what? I am who I am. This is how God made me. I'm trying to get more godly as the days go by. I'll just tell you that right now. But there's people that put on a facade every day. They come to this church every day and they don't be fake. Be who you are. And you know what? And I'll use Tony Godfrey. If you're tore up from the floor up, right? Then that's who you are. Praise the Lord. Let's take that and let's learn how to be godly from that. But you know what? I can't take your Christian facade and do anything with that. So be who you are and let's do something, right? The way that you carry yourself and your disposition goes a long way to showing the rest of the world what a relationship with Christ is like. So how you doing representing Christ, right? With your disposition. Proverbs 16:19 says, better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the soul with the proud. You know what? I'd rather be humble and be just at the bottom for the rest of my life, praise the Lord, than to put on some fake facade and try to be something that I'm not. Proverbs 25:28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit, now think about this one, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You know what? Sometimes we want to put on this, you know, this is how I am, right? And you spend so much time being fake that you don't even know who you really are. You've got no rule over your own spirit. Right? I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit, but I just mean like, just be you. It's like a city that is broken down and without walls. Well, what's going to happen when somebody attacks that thing? There ain't no walls, right? It's done. Are you being an example of the believer in spirit? I'm barely going to get done with this point, let alone the second one that I was going to get through today. Yeah, I was going to try to get through. No. Hey, you guys just thought that I was starting to move fast because we got through Genesis in a year. You forgot that James, 5 chapters, took over a year. Okay. Are you being an example of a believer in faith, right? I think this is the last one. Nope, it's not. Okay, we're going to get through these two. Okay, in faith. We're not going to get to the second one today, though. We're still on the first goal. We're going to finish the first goal. Here we go. In faith, what does that mean? We've got to move fast. Moral conviction. Hey, turn that clock backwards again. I had more time then. It's in faith. Your moral conviction, or even better, your reliance on God. It's like your moral conviction or your reliance on God, right? When you think of somebody that's full of faith, they rely on God for everything, right? Are you being an example of a believer in faith? Am I being an example of the believer in my reliance on God? Do people look at that and it's like, man, he relies on God for everything? And it's like, no, he does everything on his own and he just calls it godly. Stop pointing fingers at me. Do people see me take everything to God, or do they see me do most things on my own, right? A faithful man takes everything, even the small things of life, to God for an answer, right? They take everything to God for an answer. A faithful man believes that God will move the mountain, right? Now think about this. A faithful man believes that God will move that mountain. But a worldly man will try to rationalize how it's not physically possible with our help. Now, I can move that mountain with some dynamite and some heavy equipment, right? I can move the mountain. It's pure physics, right? That's just, they do it all the time. A faithful man believes that God could just do it if you ask him to. A worldly man, he's like, well, physically it's not possible without some of my help. Now take that into your Christian walk. Yeah, I could just ask God to make things, this situation, whatever it is in my life, better, right? I need my marriage to be better than it is, right? Or I need this relationship at work. God, will you please make this better? Or a worldly man or a baby Christian says, that's really not going to happen because you don't know my wife. Or that's really not going to happen because you don't know this person or my husband or whatever, right? Unless you get some of my help. Now, I've got some good ideas, God, on how I can change this person. No, a faithful man just believes that God can do it. Think about Abraham and Isaac, right? That's faith. Now, I don't have time to explain all these if you don't know what I'm talking about. So think about Noah and the ark. It had never rained, and God's like, hey, build a boat. What? Right? That's faith. Think about Moses leading the people into the Red Sea. Now, I promise when we go in here, the water's going to... Are you crazy? Right? That's faith. Think about Jesus himself going to the cross. That's faith. This is the kind of faith that's past the point of no return. Right? And those are just a few quick examples. That's what we claim to have. How are we doing? Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you being an example of the believer in faith? Are you? All right, last one, purity. I'm not going over. I told you last week. Purity, what does that mean? Cleanliness, or like the quality, right? When you think of purity, that's what it translates, like cleanliness, right? So obviously you want, you know, the water that I drink to be pure, or whatever, but or the quality. Am I being an example of the believer in the quality of my lifestyle that I'm living for Christ, right? We're finishing up this first goal. We want to be an example of the believer in all these things, right? There's like a lifetime of stuff just in this one point, this one goal, to be an example of the believer, but in purity. Now, I don't want to get all up in your feelers on this, so if you think I'm going to, just like plug your ears, whatever you got to do. Are your motives always pure? Or is there ever an ulterior motive behind what you're doing? Well, yeah, honey, I'll do that. Because I know that here in a couple days, I really want to do this. And I can, like, you remember when I did that, honey? No, that's an ulterior motive, right? Whatever it is. It's really easy to use marriage as an example, right? You guys probably think I've got the worst marriage in the world. You're wrong. I've got the best marriage in the world. But it's just really, really easy to use marriage or the marriage relationship as an example because it's practical, right? Am I helping this person because I genuinely want to help them or because I want their help later? Right? Yeah, I'll help you move. You don't know that here in a couple weeks I'm moving too and I got like 3 barns full of stuff. Now you've got to come help me because I helped you. Right? Am I serving because I genuinely want to please God or because I want others to see me serving? Oh, I wasn't in class because I was over in the children's ministry, right? Didn't you see me? I was over there, right? 3 times this month. Are you doing it because you want to please God or because you want other people to see you serving? Right? And I'm not, I believe that we honestly serve with a pure heart. I'm just, some people are like that. Am I reading? No. not trying to get up on your feelers. Am I reading because I want to grow closer to God? Or because I feel like it's an obligation to the class? Or others are going to think less of me if I don't. Well, everybody else is keeping up with this reading plan. I don't really want to do it, but I don't want to be like, well, why? He's just too lazy. He doesn't care, right? So now I got to do it, and I got this bad attitude about it. And, well, what do you, how do you think that's going to go over, right? What? Because I'm not trying to be like you guys. I'm trying to be like the guy who's not going to do that, because you guys are all on top of your reading, right?
Holly's like, I didn't even have the plan
until these are examples of how the purity of our heart is manifest in the actions in our lives. 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, we're not talking about a marriage relationship right now. We are, the church, are espoused to Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And you know what? He really wants us to be a chaste virgin, a pure, clean, holy. That's how we need to be. Are you being an example of the believer in purity? Right? Because that's where we need to be. All right, I'm stopping there on time. Let's pray. Let's pray, and we'll get out of here and go from there. Father God, I love you, Lord. I thank you for today. I do thank you for the Passpoint class. I do pray that as we just look at why we do what we do, why we call ourselves what we call ourselves, why we live our lives the way that we live our lives, that we can examine ourselves, Lord, that we can find ways to be more like you. That way people can come to us and they can say, hey, why? You're different. Why are you different, Lord? And I pray that we can use that as a time to be an example to the believer, right? And so, Lord, I do pray that you would just use us, send us out as lights in a dark world, Lord, and just that you would just be manifest in our lives, Lord. I pray for those who have things going on. Lord, the weather's kind of crazy, and I just pray that you keep us safe and that you would just use these situations as a time to just draw us closer together, Lord. I just do pray that you'd be glorified in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. All right. We'll get into goal 2 next week, guys. They get less and less after this, so. Let's see.
Just knocked out the big one first.